Today I'm going to start a series on the family reunion. You know, we all have that. Sometimes we like to avoid family reunions because we got that crazy uncle or aunt or what have you that we just don't want to be around. And anybody got that? Yeah. If you're not saying yeah, you're probably the one. So, let's get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, I just believe that you have called us to build strong families, Lord. And we just believe that you're going to lead us and guide us into all your truth, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you got your Bibles open up to Genesis chapter 1? I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It'll be up there for you. But it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, some people believe that the pre-Adamite period between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, that there was a period where chaos happened, because otherwise God would not be able to just form darkness. And when he creates for things to happen, and there's form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. This is when they believe that Satan had rebelled against God. So, I mean, you can go ahead, and there's a lot of material out there to do more studying. I'm not going to go deep into that. But verse 3 says, "And God, then God said, let there be light. And there was light." So God used his word in order to create. We know that. In Genesis, actually in John 1, 1 through 3, I forgot to give you that scripture. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So God used Jesus in order to create this world. God did not create Jesus first and then create the world. Jesus was there in the beginning. He was God in the flesh. He was the Word. Verse 4 says, "And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." So the first day, God created light. The second day, God created the firmament, the atmosphere. On the third day, God created the land and vegetation, or plants, and all according to its own kind. And he saw that it was good. You guys have that in verse 10. You can underline that. "And God saw that it was good." Day 4, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So in verse 18, if you have it there, it says, "And God saw that it was good." Everything God creates is good. Now, something, what do you mean? Now, go back to that scripture. Sorry. You have verse 20, verse 18. "He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and to rule over the day, over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness." Now, he already had created light, but now he created the sun. So what was he using the first 3 days? Basically himself. He was light. And now he created something to sustain what we see today. It's the sun. Revelations 22:5 also says, "There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor no light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So day 5, God created all the birds and creatures in the sea. And so verse 21, if you have it, highlight, "And God saw that it was good." God also blessed them and told them, "Be fruitful and multiply." In other words, reproduce. This is what he created them to do. He created everyone after his own kind. So that dispels all the evolution stuff. He created these things to be made after his own kind. God also blessed them and told them, "Be fruitful and multiply." Day 6, God created land animals and humans. Since we are last to be created, we are on the top of the food chain. We were created in his image. Genesis 1:24 says this. Can you go back one verse? Thank you. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. Underline that. Then God, the word God, we know, is Elohim. That talks about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, how did Satan deceive Eve? He came through a snake, right? So even then, Adam had authority and dominion over every creeping thing that creeps. He could have used his authority right then and there, but he chose not to. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. See, we were created in the image of God, and we're spirit, soul, and body. We're three-part being. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Now, what is this talking about? Union. This is just giving you what God had created. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given you every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then God rested on the seventh, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. See, we all come from some dysfunctional home. There might be a little dysfunction as far as my family is concerned. We just say that so-and-so was just crazy. Now, I have some pretty good brothers and stuff, but I said, we all have some type of dysfunction in our own home. And, you know, people may have came from out of addictions, and parents may have been divorced, or there may have been some abuse in the homes or what have you. I said, but we all come together as a family in that union or that reunion, and we come together as one. Because you know what? God hasn't thrown us away. He hasn't given up on you. So we don't give up on each other. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the family reunion series. There's one that's the covenant one we're talking about today. Next week, we're going to be talking about the roles of men and women. Let's roll. The third one is raise them up. That's dealing with parents and their children. I wanted to call them, Lord, help me not to knock this kid out into the middle of next week. That might have been too long right there. And then the last one is blended families. I said Wednesday, I had talked about it, and I was like, I got 25 years of material to go off of, so it's going to be payback. See, Pastor West isn't here, so he'll be listening. Lots of material. Whew. It's going to be a good one. See, marriage is a powerful covenant that God has created. Powerful. Some people just, you know, I just want to get married, have everything. They put more attention to just getting the marriage together, the wedding together, and everything else. I said, but they don't spend any time, hardly, working on their marriage, like premarital counseling. My wife and I, we did it. If I can sanctify this up, Bass Ackwards. We did it. We did it wrong. Now, I'm not saying that God blessed that because he made our wrong right, but we did it wrong. But we raised up some pretty good kids. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. He created this marriage so that you don't have to go out looking for another person in order to get an agreement with. They're right in your home. But the enemy would love nothing more than to try to break that up so you can't get an agreement. And now you're arguing, bickering, fighting against one another, and he's got you where he wants you. God created marriage before sin even stepped on the scene, as the goal is to mirror him, like the likeness of him, male and female. He made them to be joined together and let them rule. Let them have dominion. Not just one person, let them rule. So you both get to rule and reign on this earth. See, when the man is operating in the image of God, your marriage, that covenant, is going to be right on point. When things begin to fall apart, it's because someone has lost their identity within who they are. When things begin to go haywire, you've lost your identity. You got to get back to the Word. You got to get back to what you know to do is right, which is mirror the image of Christ. How are you treating your spouse? How are you treating your husband? How are you treating your wife? It goes back to that. And when you're not treating them the way they need to be treated, things go haywire. I've had some premarital and marital counseling. And it's amazing how, you know, when the husband doesn't want to go, he doesn't go. And then next thing you know, I'm dealing with the wife. Now, I understand Pastor West was always there, or the last few times I have brought Kristen. So she was there. So I wasn't counseling by myself. But the majority of the time she's saying, well, he isn't doing this and 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 this. Okay. Now, what are you doing? Because I can't deal with him because he's not here. Because if I were to deal with him, you know what she's going to go back and say? Well, Pastor Tim said, you're supposed to be the leader of the home. You're supposed to be doing this. And she just gets to that place to where she's trying to control him. Doesn't work that way. So she has to, I have to deal with how she's responding to it. What's her role? Wife, submit to your husband. Are you submitted? Well, no. No. People, marriage isn't 50-50. It's 100-100. Because you both got your own roles. And how you're supposed to submit to your husband 100%. The husband's supposed to love Christ, love the wife as Christ loved the church 100%. It isn't 50-50. Somebody was on a team and they were giving you 50%. You sit your tail down somewhere because you ain't giving me your all. And sometimes I could be frustrated because you believe that you feel like you're pulling the weight of your spouse. And you, we went through that. We went through that when I was recovering because I couldn't do much. And I didn't marry no wimpy woman either. Chris is pretty strong. She doesn't need my help to move furniture. So there wasn't much that I can do to kind of tick her off, because she can just wrap me up and throw me out because I didn't have no strength at all. So I had to watch my words a little bit. She'll just look at me like, okay. The husband has responsibility and the wife has responsibility. You both have a part to play. Like in verse 27 and 28 of Genesis 1, it says that, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on this earth. If you feel like you haven't been giving your all in your marriage, you know whether or not you've been doing it or not. But here's the thing. Demand more from yourself. Your spouse shouldn't have to tell you, hey, we need to get this going. You got to demand more from yourself every single day. Well, I just don't like getting up in the morning. Get up, set your alarm, plan it the night before. This is the time I'm getting up. Get your phone, get your alarm, get your sound, put music on it and whatever, and let it wake you up. And then first thing you do, go wash your face. Because if you lay back down, you're going to go right back to sleep. And there's two things you do. I guarantee you, if you do these two things within your marriage, you'll start seeing a change. And I'm talking about on a daily basis. Pray, spend time with God. No matter how much time it is, just spend time with Him. You can do that 3 times a day. Spend time with Him on your lunch break, when you get home, when you wake up in the morning. Spend time with Him. Psalms 55:17 says this: evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Spend time with Him. The second thing is, read not just the Word of God. Read the Word of God, but don't just read it. Do what it says. A lot of times we can read a lot of books. I say, we can read the Word of God. Oh, I spent 5 hours in the Word. Okay. Now, are you going to do any of it, of what you read? Well, no. There ain't going to be no transformation. You got to start doing it. You got to start applying it to your life. Because you don't have to worry about it. Because we know we can't change one another. Women, if you're got into a marriage thinking that you can change a man, you missed it. You're not going to be able to change them. Because God won't even change them. They got to submit themselves to the Lord first. They got to submit themselves to the Word. What you can do, basically, is let your actions speak louder than your words. There was a time when Kristen was taking the kids. I was working at the daily. We worked a Saturday shift, 6:30 to 9:30, to get the Sunday paper out at night, 6:30 to 9:30 at night. Then we go home, have a little break. And then we come back at 12 in the morning, you know, and then do it till 5. Sometimes we get done early. Sometimes we get done later. So that's that Sunday morning that we're working. Most times I didn't come out. I didn't come to church. And I see Kristen getting up, getting the kids ready, bringing them to church while I was still sleeping. I was tired. Of course, she would say some certain things. Well, you need to be doing this. That was going one ear and out the other. But it wasn't her words, it was her actions. Because she did it faithfully, whether I was going to go there or not. And so when she began doing it, I started saying to myself, demand more from myself, you sorry sack of roaches. You need to get your tail up and take your family. And when I start doing that, of course, things begin to progress to where I'm here today. But if it wasn't for her actions, I wouldn't be here. I said, we can talk till our face turns blue. And our spouse would be like, well, I ain't hearing you. Then we'll try to get other people to get them to do it. I said, don't go there. Because not everybody wants their business out there. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Always. Genesis 2. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. So before God created Eve, He created this garden and He made Adam and gave him a job. Women, if your man ain't got no job, don't marry him. You're going to be frustrated. If they can't keep a job, don't matter. You need to ask about 1,000 questions. I'm serious. And what's going on? If that would have happened to me, I probably wouldn't be married to her. Because I didn't have Jack. We married for love. And it was a shotgun wedding. But God blesses that type of stuff. You need to be stable. That man needs to be stable. God gave him a job. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God didn't give Adam a long list of do's and don'ts. He could have eaten of the tree at any given time. And he did it pretty well until Eve came. Somebody once said, well, where would we be if Eve never sinned? And somebody said, well, still in the garden. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Verse 18, and I will make a helper comparable to him. So all this time he talks about, he created the light, he created the firmament, he created the animals, he created the land, he created these things, the sea creatures, he created male and female. This is like the sixth day going on right here still. And he saw that it was good, but when he looked at man, he said, it's not good for him to be alone. All these animals that he had them, come, Adam, come and basically name them. Male and female, he named them, but there was no female for him. That word helper means helper. The Merriam Dictionary definition of that says, one that helps, especially a relatively unskilled worker who assists a skilled worker, usually by manual labor. A relatively unskilled worker. Now, women aren't unskilled. But some people believe that you're called to do what a man, you can do that what a man can do. Women can do what men can do. You weren't created to do what man can do. You can. Don't get me wrong. God made women a little weaker than men, physically. Not mentally, not emotionally, what have you, physically. You know why? He didn't want them taking over the world. This is a powerful thing. What? In the right frame of mind, a woman can be very powerful. And I'll give you an example. Hitler. What he did with the Holocaust. With Jews. Killed them. Had them murdered. It's a powerful man right there. But Margaret Sanger, she got it legalized. And it's still going on today. That's the difference. Now, can you imagine that energy being put for the use of God, for the kingdom, rather than for the kingdom of darkness? Verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast on the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Verse 20, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. You got to be very smart to name all that. That wisdom. Platypus. Where would you get that from? Aardvark. That's pretty good. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. You know, there's a joke. This is where I got to get to the place to where I declutter my mind, because I've watched a ton of movies. But this is one on this movie, Guess Who? Y'all ever seen that? Black family, daughter, end up basically dating a white dude. And they were shocked. But here's the thing. They said he was telling jokes around the table. And they were telling some pretty risque jokes there, racist jokes, what have you. And he says, how do you know that Adam wasn't a black man? They go, why? Have you ever tried taking a rib from him? It's like, you got to kind of make light of the situation there, but And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the ribs which the Lord had God taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So God formed Adam out of dirt, but for Eve, he fashioned her. He took his time. And Adam said, "This is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." It says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Verse 25. "And they were both naked, the man and his woman, and were not ashamed." Adam had a relationship with God before Eve stepped in, and Eve had a relationship with God before Adam knew her. And that's so important when you get into a covenant marriage, because y'all both got to know God first. Don't think that I'm going to change this person. That's not your job. Your job is to allow God to change you so that you could be the better person for your spouse. Normally when there's a covenant, there's a passing through two pieces of flesh. They will cut the animal in half and pass through. There's got to be some shedding of the blood. This isn't a contractual thing. It's a covenant. It's bonded together. Let no man separate that. No one should separate that. Families in this world, they're being broken. There's an attack on them, and people say, "Well, this is an attack. We got to do something." I said, you do something. You go to the word first. You strengthen that family. If there's some weaknesses within your marriage, get it settled. Find scripture. Begin to confess that stuff over your life and over your family. "But I've been confessing all day long. I've confessed it, and it seemed like nothing was happening." You know what? When you got a runaway train, it takes a whole lot of tugging and pulling to get that train to stop and then get it back going in the right direction. In society, when you see a powerful nation, before it crumbles, it's because the family has been destroyed. It's been perverted and then it's been destroyed. Every great empire, the family was destroyed. It started out as a Christian nation, ended up away from God. Your marriage is a resemblance of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful thing. Let no man, no person separate that from you. So these next few weeks, we'll be talking about that. We'll be going over it, finding out what it says, what the word says, what our role is. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't do that 100%. There's sometimes I don't love my wife as Christ loved the church. Sometimes I don't want to listen to what she has to say. And I got a long list that'll just go right down the aisle. But you know what? When it's all said and done, I guarantee you she's got a longer one. So what good is that going to do? And I know that shocks you because I'm almost perfect. Almost. She's shaking her head back there. But all of us, we got problems. We go to the Word. We allow the Word of God to change us. When you begin to change your spouse, I tell you what, you're going to be fighting them tooth and nail. Because we're not changing them for the image, for them to be like Christ. We're changing them for our liking. There were so many times where I said, going through that and us growing up because we did everything the wrong way, I was going to God saying, "Lord, she needs to change in this." Seriously, I said, I can't stand this. She needs to change. You know what ends up happening? He changes me. How I responded to her. Every single time, I'm like, come on. Yeah. Every time. I'm the one that ended up changing. So I learned to shut my mouth. Because I was tired of changing. Covenant. Marriage. Your children. Your families. Your loved ones. Your extended families. That's hard. Someone said, when you marry them, you just don't marry them, you marry their family as well. I didn't know that. So you go into a house with black babies and watermelon wallpaper. That's kind of different. It's very different. But after a while, you start seeing their heart. Hopefully you get into a good one. But here's the thing. Don't allow anyone to try to change you. You have a foundation with Christ. Guess what? They don't. Well, I'm sorry. I just don't agree with you. You don't have to lose no sleep over it. You don't have to get frustrated about it. You just continue to move on. Continue to go forward. And then it's going to get to the place to where they say, how are y'all so peaceful about this? Why are your kids so good? Why is this? Jesus, we have a relationship. That's it. You ain't got to push it on them. Jesus. Everything. Your kids act so well. Why? Jesus. We have a personal relationship with Jesus. We teach our kids the right way. We teach them to respect people. We teach them to mind their own business. I taught my kids, my sons here, I said, don't you ever let anyone call you out your name. Now, it doesn't mean go out and start a fight, but you don't answer to that. Someone says your name, calls you out of your name, you don't turn around. I named you Isaiah, Ethan, and TJ for a reason. That those names mean something. And they call you out your name, you don't turn around and answer. If you do, you're going to have to answer to me. My dad taught us that. So when we're out there on the court, people are playing, yell out an N-word, you just lay them out. That's almost. He was waiting. The timer's going off. You haven't said it yet. My goodness. I'm telling y'all, pray for me. Nah, I would never go there. But I'm just letting you know that's on the table. Covenant marriage. Let's do it God's way. Let's win our families back to Christ. One family at a time. So the next few weeks, invite your friends. Invite your families. Invite those crazy uncles and aunts. Your cousins. My name is Bob. My name is Larry. This is my brother Larry. It's my other brother Larry. That's fine. Was it Larry or Daryl? Daryl. Newhart. Yes. See, gotta declutter. Y'all stand. Let's go. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you. That we have an awesome opportunity to be able to go stronger in you, Lord. We thank you for our families. We thank you for people here, Lord. We thank you for marriage. Marriages that are going to be strengthened over the next few weeks, Lord. And we make light of the situation at times, but Father God, our hearts are for you. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you all for coming out. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.